Hi there, I'm Alex Usher, and this is Higher Education Strategy Associates, one podcast to start your day.
It starts off with this very high-tech syntho-sequency type thing, like this. That's the news. And the strings take the melody.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of One Podcast to Start Your Day. With me today is Alma Maldonado, a researcher in the Department of Educational Research at Sindestab, a major public research center based in Mexico City. She's with me today to talk about the rapidly changing and somewhat volatile situation in Mexican higher education. Alma, welcome.
Hi, Alex. Thank you very much for the invitation.
My pleasure. Why don't I start? Because I think Mexico may be a bit of a mystery to many of our listeners, at least in terms of they may go for a vacation, but they don't necessarily know the higher education system very well. What's, you know, from if you were trying to explain the Mexican higher education system to North America, to an American or a Canadian, what would you tell them?
I would say we belong to the Latin American tradition. That means we have a national university. That's very important. That's a central part of our system. But we also have a very centralized higher education system where the government still has a lot of power and control over it. We mostly are a public system in the sense of the amount of people who are enrolled in higher education. So we have obviously a private subsystem of higher education, but the number of students is less in comparison to the public one. So it's a very subsidized system and institutions. We have an interesting diversity of institutions, different types, technological, polytechnical, multicultural, state universities, pedagogical, teaching schools, etc. So it's diverse. Most of our programs are 4 years, you know, and this in order to compare with the discussion that we are having in Europe and in other parts of the world where they have 3-year programs. Most of our programs are 4 years. And then we have, you know, a very different system in terms of quality. We have very prestigious private institutions, and we have other type of garage universities, which has been a big issue in the country. So I would say those are some of the main characteristics that I could mention right now about the Mexican higher education system.
So let me get you to elaborate on a couple of those different types of institutions. Let's start with the government institutions. And as you said, there is a national institution, which is very, very important. UNAM, Universidad Nacional Autonomía de México. This is a mega university. I think it is the largest university in North America. It's bigger than University of Toronto. It's bigger than Ohio State. It's over 100,000 students. But it's also a very politicized institution, right? I mean, I see things on the evening news about people electing their rector, which is strange to most of us in Canada. And of course, there have been very important political events, a strike that lasted almost a year, I think, over tuition fees, which I believe you had some role in. This is now 20 years ago now. Tell us about the public sector and how politicized it is. How does that make it different from other North American institutions?
Yes, I think La Universidad Autónoma de México, Universidad Nacional Autónoma de México, which is UNAM, it's a central part of our system in the sense of it's an intellectual, political center. Because one of the differences between Latin America and North America is that our universities represent these intellectual places because we didn't have other spaces. So universities had to cover that as well, that part. So also these national universities in Latin America are the main center for training the elites, or used to be, now it's changing, but used to train the political, the economical, and cultural elites in the country. So that's why they are very important, and they are very politicized, as you mentioned. The political activities are, in my opinion, very different from the one that happened in the US and in Canada, because they are involved in the political life of the country, the cities. A lot of things are happening. Obviously, our institutions and our democracies are not very strong. So there are always issues, always problems. And in so many ways, the universities are these mirrors, right? Where all these problems are reflected. And as we know, by the studies on student activism, students have the space, the time. Normally they belong to the middle classes, so they can participate in politics in different ways than citizens or other sectors. So I think that is the part of the reflection. Also, UNAM receives most of the, not most, but receives a very important part of the public financing. So they can performance activities that other institutions cannot. For instance, the dissemination of culture, which is a third function or mission that Latin American universities carry on. And that's also very important and interesting in comparison to what happens in the North.
Okay, interesting. And on the private university side, I mean, you mentioned, I mentioned Tecnológico de Monterrey, you mentioned garage universities. That's a wide variety of private institutions in there. I mean, what's the direction that those institutions are taking? Are they a significant competitor to top? I mean, are there top students who go to those institutions? Is it like the United States, where the private sector, the private university sector, has some elite institutions that can compete with the UNAMs? Tell us about that.
Yeah, the private sector is large and diverse, right? So one of the things that people should know about the Mexican system is that we are one of the countries with the largest number of universities in the world. We have more than 5,000. Which is crazy if you think about, you know, the number of students we have. We are reaching about 4.5 million students. So the number of students is not that large and not that impressive, but we have a lot of institutions. So most of these institutions are private. So we have all kinds of private institutions. We have a very small sector of elites and private institutions who do research and who they have a very, high quality. But then we have another number of these institutions that basically receive cover. Students, and then we have these small universities that normally they only report like 40 students, 30 students, who knows, right? And they disappear one year, you know, to the next one, and it's really in that sense a very chaotic, I would say, sector. And in the most important thing that people who study higher education in Mexico worry about is that some of these institutions charge important, you know, tuition, some money for the poorer sectors, right? Who believe their kids are getting some training or some education, and at the end, this education is not relevant and won't mean anything to the, you know, labor sector. So yeah. I think it's part of the issues that we are dealing with.
Well, so let's talk about one of Vicente Fox's successors, and that's your current president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. And he has been president now for 4 years. And when he came to office, he talked about making higher education universally accessible for people who finish secondary school. And I've seen an article, which I believe you wrote, which suggested that meant adding about a 1.4 million people over the, for, you know, from 2018 to 2024. How's that going?
Yeah, let me say that a lot of things are happening these days in Mexican higher education. So it's a great moment to talk about, you know, where we are and what is happening. First of all, when López Obrador arrived or started his presidency, one of the main issues he proposed was the free higher education, which is something unique if you think about where the discussion worldwide is going, right? So first of all, it's free education. And secondly, is mandatory higher education, which means mandatory for the state, not for the individuals, right? So if I want to continue my higher education, the state must provide me a space to continue my education. So those are the two main points that he added into the Constitution. This became law, right? So this happened on December 12th. In 2019, so some couple of years ago. So since then, there have been different situations, proposals, policies that have taken place in Mexico. One of the things is that he also has criticized a lot the enter examinations in higher education. He has been very critical, and he keeps discussing that Mexico, you know, should have free entrance and free and with no cost. But now where we are is in a major contradiction. On one side, we have free higher education. On the other side, the public financing of higher education has collapsed. So institutions are not able to really respond to this new change in the Constitution by offering free higher education, because we have less and less money giving to the state universities, which actually are the most important subsystem of public higher education. So this is one of the things we are dealing with. Institutions, you know, cannot accept more students because they don't have enough money. So this is one of the main tensions we are dealing with.
Yeah. I'll follow up on this. So this is, not only do you have existing universities losing funding, having to deal with greater demand, but the president has set up a large number of new universities, which I believe are called the Benito Juarez universities.
Yes, that's the other part of the story, right? So during his campaign, he proposed this idea of creating 100 universities. Something, Alex, that also is interesting, probably for the audience here, because I cannot find any other president proposing such a thing in a short period of time. So the whole plan has to do with creating these universities to be open in communities where they don't have higher education institutions and where there were restrictions for the population to access to this level. Now, the problem is that they are not actually universities. First problem, right? The money provided for this project was not enough, obviously. Yeah. If you don't have money for the other universities, you don't have money for this project.
Right. And most of the ones that I've seen are actually sort of single, you know, it's Benito Juarez University of nursing, and so it'll be one field of study, not as you say, as a full university.
Yeah, it's more like programs, right? Yeah. Extension programs. That is something we also have criticized. Why not opening a major extension program, you know, with the universities that already exist? But no, the whole idea is let's create these new universities, which are not universities, which sometimes they only have, let's say, 2 professors, 3 professors, 4 students. In some cases, when because the information is not really public, and this has been another problem, transparency with this project. Mm-hmm. But the information we have, we can see that there are some of these programs with 1 professor or even 2, right? And we don't have enough data about how many students have been enrolled, what are the programs, you know, the particular programs, the syllabus, anything. We basically are very blind on this topic and on this project. And it's unfortunately because the whole idea is good. The idea is to provide higher education to the sectors that traditionally have been excluded. So I think most people agree that this is important. The problem is how you are, you know, following and elaborating the project and the money that you are providing for it.
Right. And it's not just, my understanding is that the conflict that López Obrador has with the higher education community, it's not just with the universities, but it's also with the scientists. There's been conflict with the National Scientific Agency, CONACYT, as well. Could you tell us what that's about?
Yeah, I think one of the things I would like to remark here is that we are dealing with this government, with this regime, and the main difference between him and other presidents is not that the other presidents were better, but the difference with this president is that he has been very critical openly, you know, criticizing openly academics, scientists. And for him, it's a luxury. We are talking about, you know, these privileges the academics have had historically, and you know, his criticisms has to do with that we don't care about the social problems, the political problems, nothing. We are apart from reality of the country. And that really translates into all these policies where, you know, he considers we are spending money in all these privileges, like traveling to conferences, or to, you know, do science. Basically, that's the main characteristics and the main difference between him and the other presidents. The other presidents also didn't give money, also didn't care about, you know, science and higher education, but at least they didn't attack directly.
So you make López Obrador sound very right-wing populist in the sense that he dislikes academics, but left-wing populist in the sense that he loves students.
Yeah, in some ways that is happening because his main policy is to give money directly to people, right?
Not institutions.
People, yeah, not institutions, not state programs, nothing like that. So it's let's give money to single mothers directly. Before, they used to have, you know, an structure, institutions to help these mothers, you know, to provide care or some other issue. Mm. So now is let's give the money directly. In the past, they used to help building infrastructure at schools. Now, let's just give the money directly to the parents. They will know what to do. So it's kind of the same in this case. It's like let's provide scholarships to students who are enrolled in national graduate programs, but let's forget the other side, right? The other side is just luxury, is corruption, is a bad idea. And you know, there is a political reason to do that, obviously. If you give the money directly to people, then you get more votes and people who like you. And he's very popular. That's part of the reason why it's difficult, you know, to establish the points to make a criticism to some of these policies who, in reality, they are not going to solve inequity in Mexico, which should be the main purpose, because he says he cares for the poorest people in the country. But at the end, these policies are just affecting. Because see, the paradox here is that what he's doing with these Benito Juarez universities is creating another group of institutions like this private that I am talking to you are doing, right? This is not good education. This is nothing is going to be useful to get a job. This is not relevant education. And that's really complicated, I guess.
Alma, thanks so much for talking to us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Alex.
I've been talking to Alma Maldonado, researcher at the Department of Education Research at Sinvestav in Mexico City. Have a great day, everyone.
One Podcast to Start Your Day is a Higher Education Strategy Associates production, produced by Tiffany McLennan and Samantha Pupak.